ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form within his mouth. Is that correct? How would you like me to proceed? Are we on a particular verse?
I will just start. When we start the chapter, we read the summary and then read the next, I think the first purport's on the fourth verse.
Very well. The summary of the eighth chapter is as follows. This chapter describes the ceremony of giving a name to Krishna. It also describes his crawling, his playing with the cows, and his eating earth, and again showing the universal form to his mother. One day, Vasudev sent for Gargamuni, the family priest of the Yadu Vamsha, and thus Gargamuni went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, who received him very well and requested him to give names to Krishna and Balaram. Gargamuni, of course, reminded Nanda Maharaj that Kamsa was looking for the son of Devaki and said that if he performed the ceremony very gorgeously, the ceremony would come to the notice of Kamsa, who would then suspect that Krishna was the son of Devaki. Nanda Maharaj therefore requested Gargamuni to perform this ceremony without anyone's knowledge, and Gargamuni did so. Because Balaram, the son of Rohini, increases the transcendental bliss of others, his name is Rama, and because of his extraordinary strength, he is called Baladev. He attracts the Yadus to follow his instructions, and therefore his name is Sankarsana. Krishna, the son of Yashoda, previously appeared in many other colors, such as white, red, and yellow, and he had now assumed the color black. Because he was sometimes the son of Vasudev, his name is Vasudev. According to his various activities and qualities, he has many other names. After thus informing Nanda Maharaj and completing the name-giving ceremony, Gargamuni advised Nanda Maharaj to protect his son very carefully and then departed. Shukadev Goswami next described how the two children crawled, walked on their small legs, played with the cows and calves, stole butter and other milk products, and broke the butter pots. In this way, he described many naughty activities of Krishna and Balaram. The most wonderful of these occurred when Krishna's playmates complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna was eating earth. Mother Yashoda wanted to open Krishna's mouth to see the evidence so that she could chastise him. Sometimes she assumed the position of a chastising mother, and at the next moment she was overwhelmed with maternal love. After describing all this to Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadev Goswami, at Maharaj Parikshit's request, praised the fortune of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. Nanda and Yashoda were formerly Drona and Dara, and by the order of Brahma, they came to this earth and had the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. Text number 1, Shishuku Uvacha, Garga Purohito Rajan, Yadunam Samahatapa, Vrajam Chagama Nandasya, Vasudeva Prachoditaha. Shukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, namely Gargamuni, who was highly elevated in austerity and penance, was then inspired by Vasudev to go see Nanda Maharaj at his home. 2. Tam drishva parama prita pratyutaya kirtanjali ana chardu kshada diya pranipata purasuram. When Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni present at his home, Nanda was so pleased that he stood up to receive him with folded hands. Although seeing Gargamuni with his eyes, Nanda Maharaj could appreciate that Gargamuni was a dhoksaja, that is, he was not an ordinary person seen by material senses. 3. Supavishtam kutatityam gira sunrutaya munim nanda yitva bravid brahman purnasya karavamakim. When Gargamuni had been properly received as a guest and was very comfortably seated, Nanda Maharaj submitted with gentle and submissive words, "Dear sir, because you are a devotee, you are full in everything. Yet my duty is to serve you. Kindly order me, what can I do for you?" Text 4. Mahad vichalanam rinam. Please. Gurhinam dina chetasam.
Gurhinam dina chetasam.
Nishreyasaya
Bhagavan.
Kalpate nanyata kvachit.
Kalpate nanyata kvachit.
Mahat vichalanam.
Mahat vichalanam.
The movement of great personalities.
The movement of great personalities.
Rinam,
in the houses of ordinary persons. Grihinam,
especially householders.
Dinachetasam,
who are very simple-minded, being engaged in family maintenance,
and nothing more.
Nishreyasaya,
a great personality,
has no reason to go to the grahastha.
But to benefit him.
Bhagavan,
O
most powerful devotee.
Kalpate
is to be taken that way.
Na anyata,
not for any other purpose.
Kuchit,
at any time. Translation: O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As factually stated by Nanda Maharaj, Gargamuni, being a devotee, has no needs. Similarly, when Krishna comes, he has no needs, for he is Purna, Atmarama. Nonetheless, he descends to this material world to protect the devotees and vanquish miscreants. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. This is the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and devotees also have the same mission. One who executes this mission of para upakar, performing welfare activities for people in general, is recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as being very, very dear to him. Nacha tasman manushyeshu kushchin me priyakritamaha. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised this parupakar, and he has especially advised the inhabitants of India. Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janma jar, janma sarata kari kara parupakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. On the whole, the duty of a pure Vaishnav devotee is to act for the welfare of others. On the whole, what is the duty of a pure Vaishnav?
Act for the welfare of others.
Correct. Nanda Maharaj could understand that Gargamuni had come for this purpose, and that his own duty now was to act according to Gargamuni's advice. Thus he said, "Please tell me what is my duty." This should be the attitude of everyone, especially the householder. The Varnashrama society is organized into 8 divisions: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Nanda Maharaj represented himself as a Gruhanam, a householder. A Brahmachari factually has no needs, But grihi, householders, are engaged in sense gratification. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishvarya prasakta nam taya prahita chetasam. Everyone has come to this material world for sense gratification, and the position of those who are too attached to sense gratification and who therefore accept the grihastha ashrama is very precarious. Since everyone in this material world is searching for sense gratification, grihasthas are required to be trained as mahat, great mahatmas. Therefore, Nanda Maharaj specifically used the word mahat vichalanam. Gargamuni had no interest to serve by going to Nanda Maharaj. But Nanda Maharaj, as a grihastha, was always perfectly ready to receive instructions from a mahatma to gain the real benefit in life. Thus, he was ready to execute Gargamuni's order. Mahat vichalanam rinam grihinam dina chetasam nishreyasaya bhagavan kalpate nanyata kuchit. O my Lord, O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. We find at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first canto, first chapter, the description of the movements of Shukadeva Goswami in the world after he had come out of the womb with great reluctance, because he didn't want to be involved in the material world at all, and he understood how entangling it is. It's described in the Shastra that Krishna had to personally come and assure him that if he came out, he wouldn't become entangled, because Shukadeva in the womb stayed for 16 years, and finally, after Krishna's assurance, he came out. But then he ran away from home. And he went to the forest, and he didn't come back to his father until his father had sent out some of his disciples to the forest to read verses of the Bhagavatam out loud, like Aho Bhakti Yam Stanakala Kutam Chikam Saya Payadapyasadvi, describing the mercy of Krishna. Who could be more merciful than Krishna, says Uddhava in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because although Putana came to kill him, he treated her like a mother and thus gave her the highest benediction, not considering the fact that she was trying to kill him. Who would take shelter of anyone else except for Krishna? And after hearing these verses, Shukadeva Goswami came back to his father and learned the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's much is made of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the several chapters later, because this incident proves that those who are completely detached from the material world are still attracted to the sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not a creation of the material world. Tadvag visargo janatag viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyabhadyapi. It's from a different creation altogether. And therefore, the liberated soul will be attracted to the Srimad Bhagavatam, as was Shukadeva Goswami. And now, mahat vichalanam, this verse says, what is the movement of the mahat, or the great person? Everyone's moving in this world, Krishna says, nahi kashit shanam api jatu chishchatya karma krit karyate hyavashat karma sarva prakriti jayargunai. Everyone has to move. Living entities don't stay still. Even when we sleep, we dream and we go to many places in the universe and concoct various images for enjoyment, or scary images as well. And this is the nature of the living entity, to be constantly ambitious in one way or another. So when the great soul moves, the reason must be different. So the Srimad Bhagavatam begins by describing why Shukadeva Goswami then went out from his father's home and began wandering in the countryside. And it says, Karunaya, it was out of a sense of mercy. So In the spiritual world, there's movement. Shreya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataravo Dhruma Bhumish Chintamani Ganamayi Toyam Amritam Kataganam Natyam Gamanamapi Bamshi Priyasaki Chirarandam Jyoti Paramapi Taraswadyam Apicha. This describes the spiritual world in which everyone's dancing. Every word is a song, there's dance, there's movement, vichalanam. But it's for a different reason. It's out of fullness. It's not out of a sense of need or lack. Like in the material world, everyone's moving because they're in debt. When we exploit the material world, which is the nature of the world, as is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hastani sahastanam aparani chatushpadam palguni tatamahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. One living being is food for another here in the material world. It's an exploitative environment. And when you take from others, then you have to pay it back. That's called karma. But in the spiritual world, there is no such thing as karma. But there's still movement. It's not movement out of necessity. It's movement out of joy, out of being full. And that fullness includes a sense of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. In fact, this is the greatest of all kinds of movement. As described by the personified Vedas, when they talk about the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they say that the most glorious of all his pastimes are his rescuing the conditioned souls from the material world. And therefore, those who act on his behalf to execute this pastime of saving the souls from this world become extremely dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahad Vichalanam. And that's what Mahad Vichalanam means, that one's purpose in life is different. So in our modern Krishna consciousness movement, although most devotees have an obligation to work in the world in order to pay for their maintenance. Most are grihasthas, and they have some obligation to take care of their family and keep a job and so forth. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the example when he met Kurma Brahma as he was traveling in South India. This is one of the central points of the Krishna consciousness movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meeting with Kurma in South India when he went to Kurma Kshetra. This place where he met the Brahmana who was maintaining a congregation on his own, giving people shelter through the teachings. He was a grihastha. But when he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, wow, this is really something else. That's what happens when people see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they say, okay, that's it, I'm in. Even the Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were big ministers in the government. But when they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Tyakvaturnam Asheisha Mandalapati Shreinim Siddha Tuchava. Tuchava means they just dropped everything. They said, this is disgusting. Let's go. And they wrote Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a note. They said, we want to join you. And whatever they had to do, they did. And Kurma felt the same way. He said, let me come with you. And Mahaprabhu said, never speak like this. He said, your duty is to stay here and take up the mission that I've showed you and help everybody in your local congregation to become Krishna conscious and teach them to teach others how to become Krishna conscious. He said, if you do this, then we'll never be separated. We'll always be together. And not only that, you'll become liberated and everybody else will become liberated as well. Srila Prabhupada said, this is the foundational principle of the Krishna consciousness movement that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to Kurma Brahma, that everyone can become Mahad Vichalanam, actually move for a great purpose. And even a little bit of participation in the Sankirtan movement in this way, of taking up the great mission of moving for the sake of helping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu save the conditioned souls of the material world, is what Srila Prabhupada says in this purport, helps the devotee to become recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's our main interest, is to attract the glance of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it should be obvious to anyone who reads the Bhagavad Gita, not to tasman manusheshu kashchan me priyakritamaha, that by teaching Krishna consciousness to others, this is the austerity, to take some suffering for the sake of the suffering souls of the world. Shukadev Goswami describes the mood of Lord Shiva when he drank an ocean of poison to save the universe. Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana parama aradhanam tadhi purushasa kilabhana. Parama aradhanam. Aradhanam means worship. So there are many different ways of worshiping Krishna. Krishna recommends this in the Bhagavad Gita if you want to be happy. Manmana madbhakto madhyaji, mabhyaji. Worship me. And bow down to me, think of me, and so forth. So many different ways of worshiping Krishna. But here Shukadeva Goswami says, what Lord Shiva has done, this is the best. Parama Aradhanam, the best kind of worship, the Parama Aradhanam. This is taking austerity, tapyante, lokatapena, for the people of the world, in order to help them become saved from the clutches of the material energy by giving them Krishna consciousness. Parama aradhanam tadhi purushasakilatmana. There is no better method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he resides within the heart of every living entity. Therefore, every body that we see is actually a moving temple. And performing one's worship there at the altar of the moving temple where Krishna is seated beside the living entity and desires the deliverance of the living entity, but he doesn't get involved as the Paramatma. He's Samoham Sabhabhuteshu. He remains equal. He lets the living entity make his own choice. But when the devotees intervene as Madhyama Adhikaris and they interrupt the normal flow of mayic consciousness of the living entity by introducing transcendental sound vibration into the life of the living entity, then when that intervention begins because of the impetus of the Madhyama Adhikari, then Krishna begins to help that person from within the heart to advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Maya mugde jivera nahi swata Krishna gyan. Jivera kripoya Krishna Krishna Veda Puran. He said that the living entity doesn't automatically come out of Maya. It's not swata. It's not that he just suddenly wakes up. But there has to be an intervention. And so Srila Vyasadeva has given the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially so that people could hear transcendental sound and then wake up. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then says that this is the duty of the Vaishnavas, to do this, parabhu upakara, to do good to others by giving them the opportunity to come out of Maya. There's a lot more to be said about this purport. We have a short amount of time, so I'll start with some reflections or questions. Yes, Prabhu.
Yes, you had mentioned in the beginning, you had mentioned when Krishna came down here, sacrifice was given, performed, and has given him a name. What was his name up in the spirit world 6 billion years ago? I mean, hypothetically, of course, but his name was given to him on planet Earth in a different yoga, in a different yoga. A different era in the past. So that's his name. That's how us human species know this now, down here in this material world. But up in the spirit world, what was his name? If his name was given to him on a sacrifice in the material world, before he got here, he's eternal, eternally. What was his name up there?
Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam describes how all names are actually Every name is a name of Krishna originally, because he's the source of everything and he's the source of all names. And then he has unlimited names. Those who live in South India recite the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram every day. And there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu and so forth. But all these names actually describe the qualities and the pastimes of Krishna. And Brahma describes in his prayers in the 14th chapter, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna has unlimited qualities and pastimes. And he says that if you were to count all of the grains of sand on all of the beaches and every star in the sky, then still you would not come to the end of the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. They would be more than that. And so Krishna has many, many names, and especially in Vrindavan, he has names that are very dear to him because they describe his relationship with his most intimate, loving devotees. So Haridas Thakur describes in the Harinam Chintamani that there are two categories of names. This is funny, it seeks its own level. And this is it, that's as far as it goes. He says there are primary names and secondary names. So secondary names describe Krishna's relationship with the material world. Or, for instance, Paramatma. Paramatma is a description of a partial manifestation of Krishna in the material world who's overseeing the activities of the living entity. The material world's not that interesting to Krishna because the living entities here aren't that interested in Krishna. In fact, if Krishna personally appears here and says, "Would you like to go back to Godhead?" they'll say, "I'm a little busy right now." And that's what's going on here in the material world. Therefore, you find that Mahavishnu, who's overseeing the material world, is asleep. And he has half-closed eyes. Because in Vrindavan, you look at Jagannath, who's really the Vrindavan deity. Jagannath is the deity who's just, it's a manifestation of his extreme prema for his devotees in Vrindavan after he's heard about their separation from him. The form of Jagannath Baladev, forms of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra are ecstatic manifestations of the symptoms of love that Krishna has for his devotees in Vrindavan. That's why they look kind of distorted, because when there's prema, the body becomes distorted. But you look at his eyes, they're wide open. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna never sleeps. You'll find that he, I know, I'm answering your question, but indirectly. He goes out all day with his friends, and he comes back at night, apparently going to sleep, but he sneaks back out again. Goes out the window, and he goes and associates with other friends at night. And he comes back in the morning, apparently he's been sleeping. He has scratches all over his body. And Mother Yashoda is wondering, you know, like, how'd that happen? So in Vrindavan, no one ever sleeps because they're always in ecstasy. In any case, all of the names that describe Krishna are describing his intimate pastimes. So the secondary names are names of Krishna in relationship to the material world. And the primary names are those that describe his intimate loving pastimes with his devotees. How many of you here have a nickname? Come on. We won't ask you what it is. But the fact is, if you were walking in some foreign country, and, you know, in a crowd through a bazaar somewhere, and someone called you by your nickname, you want to tell us what it is? Your nickname? Oh, okay, yes. What? No? If someone calls you by your nickname, you'd immediately spin around and think, this is somebody who knows me, knows my family, knows everything about me, just from the name. I mean, what's in a name anyway? Did you get his name? And, you know, once you have somebody's name, you can really track him down. Right, Yuga? He knows all these things. So Krishna's primary names are names that he's called by his devotees. And Yashoda Nandana. And, you know, the names that really charm him. So those names are eternal. They're always always there. But when he comes to the material world and he performs his pastimes, like the name-giving ceremony, it's a very charming way in which the Lord is given these names by Gargamuni. But they're always there. It's just being enacted in the pastime in this world. Another question? Yes, Prabhu.
It's more of a comment.
Okay.
So when I was hearing this verse, the first point that came to my mind is the conversation between Vidura and Yudhishthira Maharaj, where he says, "Tirthi kurvanti tirthani," that wherever you travel, that place is a place of pilgrimage. fits nicely with this verse. And the second point that came to my mind is when you're talking of movement, as in one of Prabhupada's purpose, he explains that for materialists, they are just like tossed in the waves of the ocean. So their movement is like, it's not them, it's like one way, it's just like, they're just forced to move in this material world. And unless they get actually Bhagavatam or someone to actually wake them up, then they have a choice to move on.
Yes. Nice points, thank you. Prabhu, can you move it back to the verse for today's verse? We can just look at it. Another question? Or you can give a reflection if you like.
Yeah, here's one. I'm curious. You had mentioned when Krishna's up in the spirit world, he goes to bed, you know, like everyone else, and but then he gets up and sneaks back out, and he never sleeps. But up in the spirit world, nobody sleeps. And the only reason why we have beds in the material world is because our physical body can't take it. It has to regroup and relax and, you know, that's it. We have to sleep. Our body can't take it. You know, we have to sleep. But up in the spirit world, why sleep up? I mean, why play around up there? I mean, nobody sleeps up there. Why? You know, why?
Do you like to sleep sometimes?
I love to sleep.
Yeah.
Because
so
I can rejuvenate my body.
Actually, anything that goes on in the material world is a reflection of what's there in reality in the spiritual world. And just as you enjoy sleeping, so Krishna also sometimes enjoys sleeping. When he sleeps, it's for his own enjoyment, and his devotees enjoy putting him to sleep also. It's a very kind of intimate service that devotees do when they put the Lord to rest at night and so forth. And he enjoys that pastime of sleeping. So the in the spiritual world, which is the origin of the material world, as I was saying, it's a reflection. There are varieties of activities. For instance, there are varieties of seasons. Just in the material world, if it was one season all year long, it'd get a little boring. Everyone loves seasons. As autumn's coming, oh, autumn, you know, winter's coming, oh, winter. There are varieties of spice of life. And in the spiritual world, there are various divisions of the day and the night, during which Krishna has very particular pastimes that have a particular flavor with his various devotees. In fact, in a musical sense, there is a what is called raga. And the raga is actually meant to harmonize with the pastimes of Krishna at various times of the day and night. And so the pastimes at night, getting ready for sleep and lying down, they're not for repairing the mechanical body in the spiritual world, but it's a kind of enjoyment that Krishna has. Although I said Krishna's bored when he's sleeping on the causal ocean, it's described that he's in ecstasy. He's always in ecstasy. And he's enjoying the yoga nidra, or that sleep. And in his dream, he's actually creating the material world. That we're kind of in his dream right now. And when he breathes as he's sleeping, he's emanating universes from his pores. And then when he inhales, they all go back within his body and so forth. So everything is there in the spiritual world, all the various varieties, but it comes by Krishna's will and for his own pleasure. For instance, seasons manifest sometimes according to Krishna's particular pastime that he's performing. You don't have to wait. And sometimes all the seasons at once manifest at the same time to assist in his enjoyment in the spiritual world. Similarly with pastimes of going to bed at night. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, you see this theme of like how, like in this verse, how it is described, the sages, they travel for the benefit of grahasthas. And I was actually thinking of the instructions they are traveling just to give instructions to the grahasthas. But again, we see this concept of like, you know, like when, like if we have a question, then normally the answer is Like the perfect answer would be an answer based on your varna and ashrama. So for a grahastha, if someone has a spiritual inquiry, the answer would be given based on his situation in the grahastha ashrama. But when this, when these sages are traveling, I was just thinking of like, because they are like renunciates, they are giving the, they are giving like, let's say, the knowledge of the paradharma, the eternal principles of spiritual principles, but how do the grahasthas or get knowledge about their varna and ashrama? Like in grahastha ashrama, what are my duties? Because the knowledge that's coming from this is more on the spiritual path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a little sense. I mean, you said earlier, you quoted the words Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Kurvanti Tirtani Swantakstena Gadabrita, that Yudhishthira said to Vidura that you're a walking place of pilgrimage. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha. What is it? Bhavadvida Bhagavatas. So he said you are a walking place of pilgrimage. It's a very practical thing, actually. When somebody who is spiritually advanced comes to your house, do you change anything in your house before they come? Please say yes. Yeah, I mean, when anybody comes to your house, but we used to notice when Prabhupada would come anywhere, like this is mentioned, I think, in the Lilamrita or other biographies of Prabhupada, that everywhere he went smelled like paint. Why is that? Because everyone was painting. Anywhere I ever was, you know, when Prabhupada was on his way there, there's construction going on at the last minute to make everything look really nice. And I noticed that too with you know, exalted souls who are within the Krishna consciousness movement. And when anybody comes to our house, you know, we start deep cleaning everything. More so, I mean, to the degree that they're advanced, the cleaning goes deeper practically. And I can remember times when we had, you know, great sadhus come and stay at our house, and then we were never the same. And also, we noticed we moved things out that, you know, we didn't need. All of a sudden, it just became apparent to us before they even came. It's like, we don't need this stuff. We better get rid of it fast. And, you know, as soon as they came in, everything else moved out. And when they leave, just by their presence, it's not even necessarily like, you know, detailed instructions. Although expert preachers always know what to say to encourage somebody in the right way, at the right time. But just by their presence, there's this sense that I should do better, or, you know, I want to do better just by seeing them. That's the meaning of that verse. Now they're walking places of pilgrimage. You feel it actually, just by seeing them move. So it's important for devotees to go around. I mean, the sense of this is that the great souls, they'll come to people's homes unannounced, actually, like knock knock knock, and then like, what do you want? It's like, I just, you know, I need a cup of milk, but they don't need a cup of milk. They just came to the house to remind the people. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta used to tell his disciples, his sannyasis, because he had mostly all renunciates staying in his mutts. And he would say, every day you should go out and knock at least three doors. He said, even if they don't take anything, or, you know, become, even if they close the door on you, at least they'll think, oh, a holy person came to my house. And then their life will be benefited by that. So he encouraged that kind of thing. But an expert preacher will know how to give instruction that will actually benefit the person according to their position. And that would be known to an expert teacher, you know, how to introduce something without, that would be applicable to their lives. We have time for, yes, Prabhu. And then there's one online right after this.
I have a question regarding the pastimes that are performed by Krishna. So like this pastime of eating your... Krishna gives full control to Paramahansa to forget his godliness, to be absorbed in the pastime. So I was always wondering how the switch of not being God anymore, to give pleasure to devotees and himself, happens that just again coming out of the pastime, again being God and taking control, and Purnamasi is not in control anymore. So I was always wondering how this switch happens between forgetting to be God and being God again.
Yes. Ultimately, he never, it's not that God ever really, or Krishna ever really forgets, but he willingly enters so deeply within the pastime that he allows himself to be lost in it for his own pleasure. Because we have to be careful, it's not that God sometimes comes under the control of another. That's impossible. Otherwise, the very definition of God, who he is incongruous with that idea. So it's his will to enjoy in a certain way. Prabhupada would give simple examples to describe how a great man, for instance, so the prime minister, once somebody came to see the prime minister and he was told to wait outside because he had a busy, he had an important meeting going on, and it was some time that had elapsed, so the door was slightly open, so he just kind of peeked in and he saw the prime minister had become a horse for his grandson. The grandson was riding on his back and he was moving around, you know, playing with his grandson. And Prabhupada describes how, you know, such a person, out of a sense of enjoyment, he comes to this position of being a horse for his for this little child and enjoys that. So Krishna also allows himself to be dominated by his devotees out of love. It's out of his own sense of love. And Prabhupada makes this clear in the various pastimes that Krishna is allowing this. Jnani priya samudapasyana mamdeva jivanti san mukaditam bhavadiya bhartam stani stita shutikatam tanuvan manobir. Ye prayaso jita jito pyasitai strilokyam. Jita, jito. The ajita becomes jita. The unconquerable becomes conquered by love. So it's out of love that he allows himself, but it's not that he loses his position or power or anything like that. His extreme gratitude and sense of accepting the love of his devotees. He purposefully subordinates himself in that way. That's very clear in the pastime that I think you just heard about Mother Yashoda binding him with rope. Is that after? It's coming up. Coming to a theater near you soon. It's a really important and good question. We could say more about that. Yes?
Prabhupada, I have a question that, like in the two pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like for the morning, Mahaprabhu gave the instruction to stay there and preach, and for Rupa Sanatan, he gave different, like that they will be going to Vrindavan and giving everything.
Yeah.
So for us, like being a conditioned soul, Prabhupada, like how will I? Will we understand that which is like more suitable for us?
Well, first of all, it's an important point. There are different instructions for different devotees. And that's worth noting because Krishna has different purposes. Like the Goswamis, really, and Raghunath Das Goswami came from a very, very wealthy family. They were billionaires. And really he showed through Raghunath Das Goswami and even through Rupa and Sanatan the power of his mercy and the attractiveness of his pastimes, that, you know, such persons, Ashesha Mandalapati, they were at the top, and they just gave it up. And it was one of his ways of preaching, is bringing people like that into the fold and showing the world the power and opulence. But there are different circumstances, so he gave different instructions at different times. In our own, practically in our own lives, we have to have really good local mentorship. those who know our situation well. In fact, it's important to constantly be taking guidance, because life is very complicated and we'll go through many, many transitions in our life. And if we have good guidance during all those different transitions, we'll be able to make good decisions about what to do next. And we always have something what to do next. So local guidance, having good instruction from advanced mature devotees is indispensable. Om Tat Sat. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Mugaloka Dham Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Vanchak Hopadurvasha Kripa Sinabeva Chapatitanam Pavanibyo Vaishnavibyo Namo. Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman. Hey! Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman.